and welcome to Bladespod. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of April. My name is Ben. Joining me as always, it's Andrew. How are you today, pal?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Happy Easter to you and to everyone who celebrates the eating of chocolate eggs and its religious significance, I'm sure. I'm sat here with numerous Cadbury's cream eggs in front of me, so I'm pretty happy, to be honest.
Yeah, fantastic. I got some Lindt chocolate on Monday, and it is now gone. So that's always a good Easter, I think.
Absolutely. Well, the Blades played a game this week. I've got to be honest, I'm completely discombobulated as to what day of the week it is. I think the long weekend and trying to get my one-year-old to sleep through the night is kind of just befuddled me at the moment. But we did play a game this week, and I think it was on Saturday, which I believe was about 4 or 5 days ago. Walking home from this game, the 3-3 draw with Fulham, I did think to myself, this game right here, this feeling I am experiencing right now about 5 o'clock on Saturday, this is why I wait a few days before we record these podcasts, because I was fuming and I'm much more calm now. However, I will say that I will remember this game as a 4-1 win for Sheffield United, and everything that happened after that point, I'm quite happy to disregard it. How does this one sit with you 4 or 5 days later?
I were actually not too bad. He obviously sit with. He booted his chair. Probably not strong for. Yeah, he booted. He cried a lot. And then as we were coming home in the taxi, so we always go for a pint after, like, traffic down a bit. I was like, oh, you idiots. How did you let that? Like, but a really, really weird game. Like, nothing happened, it seemed, in the first half. Yeah. I know they hit the post, but that were about it. Really boring, but except better than, like, you know, being 4-0, 5-0 down like we have been. Yeah. And then it just exploded in the second half, and for 20 minutes, we just had to, you know, they couldn't cope with us. And then, but if you look back at the stats and everything, realistically, I think a draw might even be kind in us. I don't know if I'm being too negative by saying that, but the way it happened is just, we always find new and exciting ways, don't we, to be miserable this season. So.
Yeah. I think ultimately, you know, you said this last time, you kind of wanted us to stay in a game, didn't you, like with this Fulham game, you know, be within a goal going into the last 5 minutes. Now, as it happens, we were two goals up going into the last 5 minutes, although as it then happened, that was actually going into the last 20 minutes, as it turns out, as I'm sure we will talk about. Definitely take that, mate. It was, you know, much more exciting than losing 5-0 and 6-0. So money's worth in that regard, and only the, what is it? I mean, that Luton game was the first time since, what, like 93 that we'd scored 3 in the Premier League. So they don't come around often, United scoring 3 goals in a Premier League game. So I'm not taking that for granted either. But yeah, as you say, it is realistically, it's another game we kind of got hammered in. Obviously, we should have won from 3-1 up, but ultimately, yeah, another game where the opposition has 20 plus shots, we only had 8. They have 75% possession. Look, you know, just look vastly superior to us in everything but defending. You could say I actually did think they were a bit shaky.
Awful. Yeah, and obviously they got well, didn't get battered. One, but they were 3-0 down against Forest yesterday after 45 minutes, and I was not surprised by that, because I think a better team, I mean, we got 3 against them, and I think if we could defend in any sort of normal manner, then we'd have won that game, and we might have even got more goals. We were a heel or whatever it was off getting 4 goals against them, so they were terrible defensively. Fulham, they are better than us, and it wasn't, I think, because we didn't get hammered, it's easy to come out and say, you know, that were better, that, and blah, blah, blah. And it was better, obviously. But because of how bad we've been, it was still pretty bad, realistically, as a performance, in terms of, it was maybe as good as we could have done. I'm certainly not blaming Wilder for that or anyone for that. We are a really, really, really bad Premier League team. Like, you know, maybe up there with the worst. And I think that even in this game, that showed, you know, 5 minutes. I know it was 20 minutes or whatever it was in the end, but I don't know. We could have been 2-0. They hit the post twice before we even scored. And we had a really, really good 20 minutes where I thought Berrett and Diaz and McBurney were by far the best two players, certainly for us, maybe on the pitch altogether. But there were so many other things that just weren't happening. And as you said, the stats are there. People say, well, you know, the only stats that counts is that we got a point. But they had 28 shots or something. And you know, they've got nothing to play for, really, Fulham. They're pretty much on the beach. They're not a great Premier League team. And we did get outplayed. So on that, look at that sense, you think, wow, that's another point on the board.
Yeah, I guess so. For me, I think you kind of touched on this a little bit there. This was almost like, if you take that assumption that we're a bad Premier League team, which I think everyone probably knows that by now, even the most optimistic United fans, this was about the best case scenario, like game script, if you like, for us, where I just don't see at this stage, I don't see a situation where we stop a team getting 20 shots, like apart from like some just an odd kind of fluke performance. Wilder's been here, what, 6 months now, thereabouts, 5 months. We're not tighter defensively. We were for those first few games, I guess. But we are, the floodgates are well and truly open in terms of how many attempts and chances opposition are getting at the moment. So I don't see that stopping at any point for the rest of the season. But we.
I don't think we have the players to make that stop, to be honest.
No, exactly. So you kind of, I can't say I'm cool with it, but I accept that opposition are going to have loads of chances. The best case scenario is we also create a little burst of chances ourselves. We ride our luck defensively. As you said, they hit the post twice before any goals had gone in. We take our chances. Most teams, even us, really should have won from 3-1 up, like, and certainly from 4-1 up, which obviously would have stood if VAR didn't exist or was used for, I guess, what it was intended to be used for in the first place. So yeah, I feel like it was about the best case scenario of like how the game could have gone for us, and unfortunately, we still didn't win because that's just how bad we are, I suppose. And yeah, you throw in everything else of like having to play an extra third of a half essentially, and the opposition are bringing on really good players, and we're bringing on players who are way off it at this level, and we've got people going out with
I
cramp
saw a,
and all sorts.
yeah, I saw a Fulham fan say, "Oh, you a lot of talking like, you have really bad injuries. We had 10 out," and I'm like, "Your five players you brought on might even be our best players, let alone getting our team."
I think they
So,
were.
don't come at me with that, yeah. And it does make a difference. And there's a lot of debate about whether Wilder's to blame for those subs and things. And I personally, I think the biggest problem, people say bring Brooks on, which I would have done instead of Norwood. I think putting Trusty at left back against Traore, I'm just bemused by what we thought were going to happen with that. He were awful when he came on, Trusty. So I think this is, again, it's not black and white. I think you can blame him for the subs he made, but at the same time, I don't necessarily think if he'd have made different subs, things would have changed. They're bringing on five bona fide Premier League players. Our bench is a joke at this level. Like, it really, it's awful at this level. And there's not, and whatever, again, it's another rule that's changed that's in favour of the better teams or the teams with more money, which Fulham are. And I think the subs were wrong. I don't know with the 20 minutes left whether even if we'd have made the subs that I wanted us to make, it would have made that much difference.
Yeah, I mean, I probably certainly would have done this at the time, and it seems obvious with hindsight. Like, I think just having people who can run on the pitch is a better choice than Norwood. And
I did say that.
Trusty against, it seems like, anyone out wide just seems like a bad idea. I know he did play left back a bit for Birmingham, right, last season. I'm sure he did. But
But
he,
their fans, on the view from their fans, said he's not very good at left back.
yeah,
And he's
well.
played, since Wilder's come in, he's played more games at left back or whatever than as in at centre half. He did okay against Liverpool, was it, in his first game? But he's been absolutely destroyed by players. He's obviously the big one. So, I mean, look, Traore didn't lie. I don't. Did he set the goal? I don't think he set the goal up, the equaliser. But at the
Yeah,
same
he
time,
did.
we
It
were
was his
some.
cross, yeah.
Did he? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Well, it wasn't, but it wasn't just that. We were under the cosh because we had a guy in midfield who can't run anymore, or maybe never could run, and just sort of, because we're playing in a good possession-based team, it didn't matter. And a guy at left back who's not a left back, and I'll be kind and say he's in terrible form.
Yeah. I guess we this has probably been done to death in the last few days, but there is this, I suppose there is this debate of like, what difference does it make just leaving, Arblaster and Souza and McBurnie on the pitch for 5 more minutes? Like, even if they, I mean, obviously they come off because they're knackered, like, You know, I think Wilder said Arblaster had like a whack on the leg. Sousa got cramp on him. McBurney, this is actually the first time he started for... let me check that, actually. I think if he starts against in our next game, that will be the first time he started four games in a row this season.
Wow. I'm
sure, I looked that up yesterday.
That does sound right to me.
Yeah, so those changes were obviously made for fitness reasons. I guess I just feel like, what are we saving them for at this point? Like, can't we just win this one game and give me something to smile about? I know there must be a thing of, like, if they stay out there, they're not able to run round. But in that case, surely you bring on... I mean, even, like, Yasser Larouche, you know, is going to go down in history probably as, like, a great joke signing by the Blades in the Premier League. At least he can run. You know, he is fairly athletic. Asula's another one.
That
Brooks, obviously.
It would have made far more sense that, or even leaving Osborne there and bringing Brooks on instead of Osborne, you know, in midfield, that would have made more sense. But I don't get the subs. I understand why he made them, to be honest, because like he said, if Arblaster's got a knock and then he carries on and it makes it worse and he's out for 6 weeks, he's going to get hammered for that, obviously, with all the injuries that have happened. And we are already down, so why, you know, run the risk of him maybe missing a season if it were that bad or something. I think there's two things. I think the subs, for me, the subs were wrong, but I do understand why he made the subs. It came off. I think taking those players off was fine. I think the players that we brought on and the way that we went about it, I didn't agree with.
I don't know if I'm being a bit like emotional fan here, but I didn't like the exact timing of these subs either. Because they came in the wake of this disallowed goal, which obviously would have put us 4-1 up. Bramall Lane absolutely bouncing. I was laughing my socks off when this fourth goal went in. Like, I just could not believe.
I shouted, "What's happening?"
Yeah, I could not believe I'd seen a decent Premier League team come to Bramall Lane and concede four goals. But that apparently was what had happened. So I was literally hooting with laughter. Then you get the VAR check, then it gets disallowed, and that just sucks the air out of the place a little bit. Fulham immediately chuck on Jimenez, who is a good player, Decadova Reed, who always seems to score against us, you know, Kenny Tete for Castagna, whatever, that's less sort of intimidating a sub. And we also bring on Norwood, which is a kind of moment, and Trusty, which is a double sort of kind of moment. Maybe I'm being an idiot fan here. Would it have killed us just to wait a couple of minutes? Like, just, I just feel like that was like almost a triple emotional hammer blow there of like, actually, you're not 4-1 up. We're going to rule this goal out for something nobody can really understand in the moment. Oh, look, they're bringing on some really good players. We're bringing on some pretty bad players. Good luck, lads. I don't know. Just the timing really bothered me, and obviously I have the confirmation bias of them scoring within a literal minute of those subs as well.
I'm struggling to think of a game. There must have been one that so many things happened in the space of 1 minute that changed the game. We obviously had the goal disallowed, the subs came on for us and them, and then they immediately scored. And I don't think anyone in the group hold on after that. Even if they've only held 5 minutes. So just the way it happened, we've gone from 4-1 up to taking off, you know, probably our best fielder on the day, an Arblaster at least, and bringing on someone who we know ain't really up to it at this level. Osborne, I thought, were fantastic at left wing back. We've moved in and we've got this guy on who's had a really torrid time so far this season. They've just scored. And the team that were left on the pitch was set up solely, it seemed, to defend. You know, Trusty's not going to get forward like Osborne did. You know, Osborne had a hand, I think, in the second... I can't remember exactly where it was. You're not going to get that from Trusty. So there were no outball. McBurney obviously went off. Was it McBurney went off or Diaz went off?
McBurney went off a couple of minutes after the second Fulham goal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we brought McAtee on. But again, it's not really an outball in the sense. And we were just, that were it. We were penned in. And then when obviously the 40 minutes got announced, we're probably going to lose this now. And I genuinely did believe we were going to lose it. And we probably should have lost it because that chance they had at the very last kick was really badly. It was a free shot just inside the area. And he's hit it straight at Gerbich. Any other side of him, and I think that's it. Yeah. And everything changed. Everything changed from that sort of loud subs being made for both teams and then them scoring. And then after that, you know, it's in Fulham's hands.
Yeah. Oh, second game running. I think last game was that Bournemouth game, right? It's so long since we played. The second game running where we've conceded, we've blown a late lead, but not only that, but I'm also sat there thinking there's not really much point in watching the rest of this because we're not going to do anything. Like, it is literally just, will they get a winner? Like, there's absolutely no way we even get in their box, essentially, with the changes that we've made. And I know both games, necessary changes, apparently, you know, fitness-wise, blah, blah, blah. But, yes, it is. It's such a kick in the teeth that you... I think Deadbart said this in his report, I think it was. Like, it feels like we need to be 3 goals up going into stoppage time to have a chance of holding
on. It does.
And that's not, you know, any other club, any other season, you'd be like, oh yeah, whatever, mate. You know, like, this, don't be so dramatic. But that is actually the case with Sheffield United this season in the Premier League. Yeah.
Do you know what annoyed me is that, I mean, I don't know if we're going through the game by game thing, but their equaliser summed us up perfectly. We have to work so hard to get a goal. Like that goal that we scored, really good play from McBurney, fantastic pass. I think that were our first shot on target. You know, Diaz finishes and then the whole place is up. Come on, we won. And then we give away a goal that you genuinely would expect your average League One team to defend.
Oh, God, so painful.
Two minutes later, you just think, we've had to work so hard for that. And they've just sort of had a corner and a free head. Oh, yeah.
It is annoying. Isn't it? They, do you know, that routine for that equaliser, they tried that like 4 or 5 times in the game and they got some joy with it as well. Like, there were sort of, there were a couple of times, it's on the extended highlights, like the 10-minute highlights. There's a couple of times a ref kind of spotted what they were doing because they literally leaned into it a bit too much and actually done a sort of illegal block off. This one, I'm jumping ahead to the Paulinho goal here that made it 1-1. There isn't any blocking. Paulinho just stands at the near post and no one's anywhere near him. And you've got Souza and I think McBurney's going bananas at like the fact that nobody's gone near him because it can't be his man. He's like the sort of, McBurney's the classic zone man in the middle, like just attack the ball. Souza's near him, but I'm sure there's three other players that just let him run straight off him. I mean, he doesn't even run off him, he just stands at the near post, basically. Yes, it's pathetic.
Well, I think that's up there. We've had a lot. I think that's up there with one of the most pathetic seeded all season. The way it happened as well, we've just gone 1-0 up. We've worked so hard for it. Mm. We've rolled us luck, you know, they've hit the post a couple of times. We're 1-0 up, and then we give away something. And I'm not exaggerating. I genuinely expect a normal League One team to be able to defend that corner.
You think so, wouldn't you? Yeah, after the Bournemouth game, one of their goals, I think I said that was the worst set-piece goal we conceded this season. And
that was another bad one. It was a similar sort of goal,
Not far behind at all. So they had hit the post twice, as you said. One was a really good save by Gerbich, I thought, in the first half, when Muniz turns really well and hits a low shot and he pushes it onto the post. I thought he had a decent game again, Gerbich. You know, I know it's another game he's conceded three in. I don't feel like he could have done anything particularly with any of their goals, and he made a couple of good saves as well. I liked his proactivity coming off his line. I see a lot of criticism of like crosses. He doesn't seem to come off his line. Like, I don't know. He doesn't seem, right now to me, he doesn't seem any better or worse at that than anyone else, to be honest, that we've had. But I like him coming out to sweep up. I liked him coming out to take a free kick, to be honest, as well. You know, show a bit of impetus. Did you know that in the first half, I think it was? Where
bloody hell, how fast is it? It's faster than Norwood, anyway, isn't it? Like, get him in midfield. I did think his distribution was pretty patchy, to be fair, but it was at least not just doing what he would just boot it and, you know, for the best. He was trying to do things. I don't think but it must be so difficult for him playing in front of this team, you know, as a goalkeeper defensively and what have you. I bet he can't believe what he's walked into, to be completely honest.
Yeah, quite possibly. So, that was a good save in the second half. I think it is Muniz again that... it's a really good far post header that just hits the flies over Gerbich and hits the far post.
Yeah,
and then this really felt like a goal out of nowhere for us, where we put a little bit of pressure on, and I think it's is it Adarabayo? I think it was him and Basu, the two centre backs for Fulham, as we kind of touched on, not great in this game. Like, definitely Diaz and McBurney gave him a few problems. And Adarabayo plays a loose pass. I like this from Osborne. I think he deserves quite a bit of credit here because he obviously picks off this pass, but then he immediately tells I think it's McBurney, leave it, like, clear the way, essentially. Get you going forward. I've got this. And yeah, ends up going out wide to McBurney, puts in a phenomenal cross. I thought McBurney had a really just not been a part of this game at all up to this point. This is the 58th minute. I feel like this was basically the first thing he did in the entire game, but it's a hell of a cross from McBurney, or a hell of a
It's
pass.
fantastic ball.
Yeah.
It really is. It's not something you're really associating with those sort of, that sort of technique, really. He is a decent player, skillful, but we don't really, especially at this league where we sort of seem to use him as a battering ram more. And it was once again from McBurney for me. I know what you're saying, he weren't really involved, but I'll give him, but he didn't really create anything for him. I thought, him and Diaz, it's one of those things. Think it were almost like the worst thing was those two probably aren't going to be here next season, and they
No.
were the bright sparks along with Arblaster, and I thought Aimer were decent actually. Entire game, and two of them aren't going to be there.
Yeah, annoying, to say the least. Yeah, good
Yeah.
finish by Diaz, and it was obviously 6 yards out facing goal, but he still has to sort his feet out and stick it away. Yeah, I said McBurney, I didn't feel like he was involved for that first 58 minutes. He still got a goal and an assist, and yeah, but for a pretty spurious VAR decision, it would be two goals and an
Yeah, they got
assist.
two.
I'll put forward my theory on McBurney here, and that is that I do think that we will make a serious effort to keep him for next season. I think he will be the one that the club like kind of go out their way to not break the bank for, but like maybe break the
Yeah.
strategy for, of like give him a contract similar to what he's on now. Jumping around a little bit here,
I was
but
told, by the way. This is not someone, necessarily in the know, but I do know that they know a few people. So, breaking news or anything, but Norwood apparently is not being offered a contract, which is probably, it's not a big surprise, is it? But apparently that's from the horse's mouth.
And I think with Egan likely to miss the rest of the season now, I think Wilder said. I think, yeah, that almost feels like it's paving the way for him to leave at the end of the season as well.
I agree.
So my and you know Baldock possibly the same. He's also out for 6 weeks after getting injured in
So
his
really
first game.
horrible. Davis is out for the season as well. What a waste of time. I'm not having a go at him. If he's injured, he's injured. But he's played 45 minutes. That's the most he's played in a game.
I think it's fair to have a go at United for giving him a 3 year contract.
It's absolutely him after he were a free agent after the season had started. I just can't. I'd love to speak to the club about that. When Bates were on Radio Sheffield, but it might not be the biggest point, but I'd love to have known. Why did you sign him? People were fighting for his signature. We were training at Bristol Rovers.
Ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah, so it kind of does feel to me like some of those players are more likely to leave than maybe I thought about a month ago. And it just, I really do feel like if Wilder's still here, which again, that seems more likely than a month ago with him going and having his, powwow with the prince in Saudi Arabia or whatever during the international break. I
I
do.
mean,
I think
yeah.
they'll
I
make the
mean,
push to keep McBurney.
I look, when I go, it's all I swing one way or another with McBurney. I was like, on the one hand, I think, nah, get rid. He's always injured. And then when I see him, play those, like, well, at least that last half an hour he played against Fulham, I think we need to keep this guy. He's probably going to be one of the best strikers in the league next season. So frustrating. But then again, maybe if he didn't have these fitness issues, someone else might come in and offer him a better contract. I can't see him going to a Premier League club.
Not a Premier League club, but I don't think he'll be short of suitors if he gets to out of contract territory. I mean, obviously,
Rangers.
Rangers is the obvious one, but yeah, I think there'll be loads of decent Championship teams that look at what he's done when he's been on the pitch in the last couple of years and think this is for a free transfer. It's well worth a sizable contract. He is the sandwich. He's Homer's sandwich in The Simpsons. How can I stay mad at you? That's how I feel about him, because I think about 2 weeks ago I was absolutely fuming with him, like just like done, don't want to see him ever again, like I'm absolutely sick of his fitness issues. And then he plays like this, like we get an hour of him doing nothing and then he contributes to what should have won a game. I look this up, so if you do, I sometimes find this a weird stat, but goal contributions, which is just goals and assists added together, he has eight now, would have been nine obviously. 5 goals, 3 assists. That puts him level with Bruno Guimaraes of Newcastle, Alexis McAllister, who I gather has been very good for Liverpool, Scott McTominay, who I know has been good for Man United, and Leandro Trossard, who's been good for Arsenal. He's been comfortably our best striker and one of the very few United players to look Premier League quality this season. I think Wilder will push to keep him, and I think the club will endorse it as a bit of a olive branch to the fans, if you like, of like, got to distract you from the fact we've just let Egan, Norwood, Baldock, Basham leave. But we're going to keep McBurney, so please buy season tickets. And you know, from a footballing point of view, it does make sense to me as well until I think about his injury issues. But at the same time, it's like, he can give us 25 games next season, he probably scores 15, 18 goals.
I want him to stay. I'm up and down. This time next week, if he's injured again, I might say get rid. But right now, I would like it. If the news came through now that he was signing a new contract, then I would be happy about that. Yeah. I think there's a definite argument to say, in terms of minutes played, he's been our best player this season. He's not going to get player of the season because he hasn't played enough. But when he has played, I can only think of two or three games where he's not really been one of the best players on the park. I remember Manu at home, for instance. As soon as he went off, he was fantastic in that. And as soon as he went off injured again, the team just like were nowhere near as effective. I think he's been really good when he's played.
Yeah, he has played less than 1,000 minutes so far. And, it was only, I believe it was only the minutes he played in this Fulham game that took him ahead of Luke Thomas for minutes played for United this season, which, says it all, really. But at the same time, all those good players I listed, McAllister, Trossard, they've played more minutes than McBurney this season. And he has the same amount of goal contribution. Yeah. So he's been really, really effective when he's been on the pitch.
Just on McAllister, by the way, obviously we're playing Liverpool next as well. I heard Stephen Warnock say, what a find he's been for Liverpool. It's like, he found him from Brighton.
It's like, spent like 60 million on him, isn't it?
Yeah, spent about 100 million on him. What a World Cup.
It's like find him down the back of the sofa. So that was 1-0. Diaz, 58 minutes. Paulinho from that corner, 62 minutes. And then a great bit of quick thinking from Hamer, who, as I said last time, some sneaky good stats. He actually, this season, Hamer, I think he's had a decent season, but I was kind of surprised when I saw this. He's in, I think this was before this round of fixtures, so he's probably gone up now, but he was in the top 50 in the entire Premier League for chances created from open play. That's pretty good, considering he's in a diabolical team. And this was a really good bit of quick thinking. He wins a free kick on the corner of the box, takes it quick for Diaz. Diaz does really well himself and rolls it across from McBurney to make it 2-1. Lovely goal, like lovely incisive goal. Mm.
Dean and Agana, everyone was saying, it's a new Dean and Agana, the new Didzy and Sharp. I really like these two. I wasn't sure they were going to work together, but I think they do genuinely complement each other simply because they can both play that coming out with the ball, coming for the ball and letting the other one go behind, or they're both fairly comfortable on the ball. With very little chance we're going to see them again together next season. But I think Brent Diaz has massively shown me wrong. I wasn't like sort of against the signing in the sense of I thought it were awful. I just thought, he's not really going to do anything. But you do wonder if we'd have had him right at the start of the season, we might have had a couple, even if it's 3 or 4 more points on the board, you're in with a shout, aren't you?
He's been a lot better than I thought he was as a player. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I saw someone on Reddit describe this partnership as the Mackie D's, which I really liked. But as you said, it's not going to happen, is it, for next season? Hats off to Brereton Diaz, by the way, as I may have alluded to before, wasn't my favourite player on earth before he came to play for us. He has really done himself a favour with this loan move, hasn't he? He's come to an atrocious team. And what's that, 5 goals?
4
now?
And 5.
How many has he
scored? 4. I thought 4 and 5, I think he's got. Yeah. He's obviously had an injury as well, hasn't he? So.
Yeah, and he gets an assist here as well. I mean, I would say if he wants it, he's pretty much guaranteed himself at least another loan move to the Premier League next season. Not with us, obviously. He's done really, really well. I mean, it's not just the goals and assist in this one, but I just thought his overall performance. Yeah, I think he was. I think you might have said this earlier, sorry, but I think he was probably the best player on the pitch at that point. Like, just he was really causing problems for Fulham's defenders in the very limited amount of times we're able to get him the ball. And yeah, works hard, you know, wins free kicks, looks good on the ball, his movement's good off it. You know, there's quite a few times where he's kind of making the run to the back post when, you know, the ball just doesn't find him. But yeah, he got his rewards in this one, and yeah, it was a really nice assist. And then yeah, 2 minutes later, we go 3-1 up with Hamer putting in the kind of ball that you know is a goal before it's even got anywhere near the bloke who's going to knock it in on the line, as Diaz does. Great bit of play by Arblaster, we've not mentioned yet, but again, looked highly competent in central midfield. It does a lovely
look. I think I've seen some people say the performance of Arblaster, like the ratings of him have gone overboard. I don't think he was the best player on the park or anything, but I think when you take into consideration 3 months ago playing for Port Vale in League One, this were a really really composed display. There were a couple of things he did wrong. I thought he struggled first half to really get into it. Not his fault. You know, we were under the cosh in terms of possession. But when he's on the ball, I really like him. And you can see why the Port Vale fans absolutely loved him. Because I can imagine he's really stood out at League One level. And yeah, another good performance. And again, you know, he's... Who would have thought at the end of this season he would have been probably the first choice midfielder if we're picking everybody? But that and that's a massive achievement for him.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm with you. Like, not I don't want to, you know, hyper inflate how well he's done or anything. But at the same time, yeah, we shouldn't take for granted that he's playing in the Premier League in the worst team, and he looks competent. Like, he looks decent at this level right at the start of his career. That's a massive baseline to start from. So absolutely.
And he's already won above Brooks as well, because Brooks has never got that low move. We know he can, maybe at a lower level, but we know he can string a run of games together, a good performances. We've not really seen that with Brooks. Not his fault again. You know, I did think this would happen where he comes into the team and you're full of life and everything, and then you sort of tail off a little bit. And that's what's happened with Brooks. It'd have been great if we got him out on loan. I think the Arblaster is above him in the pecking order, because we know that he had, you know, even if it's just Port Vale, he did have whatever it was, 4 months of really good performances in a row, which again, for his age, is really hard to do in any division.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing him for the rest of the season. Hopefully, you know, he doesn't an injury doesn't befall him as it befalls like everyone else, just as we're sort of getting interested in them. And the rumours about him leaving are already starred, aren't they? I sort of half joked that we might see a few in the summer, and they're already happening, even though he signed a contract about 3 weeks ago. So settle in for that, because if he keeps playing like this, there will be more rumours for sure. Great ball in by Hamer. Diaz can't miss, smashes it into the net. This is a big moment, not only because we go 3-1 up, but because there's a lengthy VAR check here. And let's try really hard not to repeat ourselves here. But I don't want it to go unmentioned that once again, I had absolutely no idea what was happening, why it was taking so long. We eventually get told there's a check for a red card for violent conduct. I have no idea who that's against. Like, are we about to go down to 10 men? Are they about to go down to 10 men?
Yeah, I think it was Leno. I think it was Sky Sport. Okay, it's never been a sending off. I even looked at it back and rewound it just to see if there was... This is why I'm more annoyed about this. And I think, again, I've done this before where I've made a tweet and people have said, yeah, but it's us throwing it away. There's two separate things going on here. Us not being able to hold a lead is one thing. This ridiculous amount of injury time because of VAR checks. What did it take? 6-7 minutes. There's never been a sending off. What are you doing? I mean, I don't know. Really don't have an idea of what they're how they think this is improving the game. Do they just want the drama? Oh, 14 minutes at the end, and there's another game that was like 12 minutes. It's horrible. It's horrible being in the ground, not knowing what's up. I think everyone in the ground disallowed the goal at first when he said Varchek, and then it came up for violent conduct, and I'm thinking, what? And then I've got my head in my hands. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, well, nothing comes of that, and it stays 3-1, and we then win a free kick, I believe, which bobbles about, comes back to McBurney, smashes it into the net, 4-1. As I said, I'm laughing my head off. Everyone's gone back to the centre circle. You know, the mockery of the away fans is beginning. The ground's absolutely buzzing. And oh, look, there's another VAR check. Yeah,
both
yeah.
subs are ready to come on 4-1. You would probably see it out of 4-1, no matter who we brought on, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. Probably could have brought Wilder on himself in central midfield at that point. But yeah, there's another VAR check, and it turns out Caesar's offside. And again, none of us have any idea why this is happening. Like what the decision is. You know, they show a still on the screen afterwards, which shows Ahmed Ozic clearly in an offside position, but also about 15 yards out the way of the goalkeeper's eye line. This is one of those where it's like, this is not improving football at all. It's a goal that absolutely would have stood in the Championship, of course, and not one single person, not even the most rabid Twitter conspiracist, would have found this offside, I don't think, and said that goal should not have stood. It's just such a waste of time, mate. I absolutely hate it. Obviously, we're on the receiving end in this one. I'm not crying conspiracy here, but it's just total BS, isn't it?
Obviously, we've seen, you know, Premier League corrupt us. I know some people genuinely don't. I don't believe that at all. I just think it's... I hate it. I hate... The VAR thing is actually... Feels in a way it's gone in our favour a few times this season. The West Ham penalty and stuff like that. There's a couple of things we've got away with that, you know, maybe they could have overturned or whatever for us. But it's just horrible. It's a horrible, horrible experience for a fan. And I don't even know if it's the ref's fault. I don't know what they're being instructed. I don't know what they've been told to look for. We've got 40 minutes injury time in a game where I don't think there were a single bad tackle until we lost his heads a little bit when it went to 3-3 and we were putting a few in. It wasn't a dirt. Someone said the only way a game should be 40 minutes injury time is...
Is it
what?
Sorry, I just lost you there.
As if a player had died. You know, that's the only way it should be 40 minutes. But that didn't happen. Do you know what I mean? That nothing happened and it's 40 minutes.
Yeah. So it turns out this is a technically correct decision that, as I say, just really has no place in football. It's not what offside was created for, the law. And it's certainly not what VAR was introduced for. Let me think how to put this, because, again, you've no sense of this in the ground at the time. And the players, none of the players think it's offside, like the Fulham players. McBurney stabs one at goal, and it gets cleared by the defender into McBurney. It bounces goalwards and Souza then toes it back to McBurney, and Souza has come from an offside position to get onto the rebound of the clearance that hit McBurney, and McBurney puts it into the net and it should be 4-1, but no, after a very long check, it's offside apparently. And I honestly can't believe I just described that as I did. What a joke that ends up being a disallowed goal. Yeah. Again, I'm not mad in like a that was the wrong decision. You know, everybody's got it in for Sheffield United. It's just like, what is this? This is stupid. This is such a waste of everyone's time. And then as we kind of talked about, they make those changes immediately. Deccan over Reed makes it 3-2. Maniz scores an overhead kick in the 93rd minute. Now, I think the timing of that equaliser, the third goal for them, is kind of important to acknowledge, because yes, there's 14 minutes and yes, they score after three of them. So I think you could sort of shrug and go like, well, it didn't matter anyway, you know, even if it had been 5 or 6 minutes. But I just think 14 minutes is so demoralizing as a team. It has to be, right? Like, we think like we're on the cusp of a rare old win here. It'd be our first home win, I think, since November, that Brentford game, unless I'm forgetting one. And they show 14 minutes and you're like, you know, that's we're going to have to play an hour this half, essentially. Like, and that's, you know, having no real concept that was going to be the case. So I think it's immaterial that they equalised in the 93rd minute. I really think it's just the total gut punch of 40 minutes. It's like, oh, 40 minutes, guess I'll die. Like, we've just got no chance now of hanging on for 3 points, and we just have to sit and pray that they don't manage to get another, you know, good shot on target and make it 4-3. Yeah, I thought this was more farcical than the 12 minutes at Tottenham, to be honest. And obviously we got
because the 12 minutes, I was talking to a Wednesday fan at work, he's all time wasting again. And I said, no.
Yeah, well, that's it. We did genuinely waste at Spurs. My anger was that the 12 minutes was disproportionate to how much time wasting we were doing. This one, no. We were winning. Like, you know, we weren't behind at any stage in this game. There was no cause for us to time waste at any point, really. Sorry, I've got my point backwards there. But yeah, we weren't ahead for sort of long enough, if you like, to kind of take the sting out of the game. And yeah, it's just stupid. I couldn't believe it. I thought it'd be like, me and my dad were talking, we're like, he's going, I think there might be 8 minutes here, you know. And I think, come on, I think maybe six, maybe. It's not been that bad. I know there's been a load of subs and a lot of goals and stuff, but come on. 40 minutes. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. I think I went with cry in the end.
Yeah, one of the Fulham fans said, yeah, but we scored on 93, so it doesn't matter. But it's not. Complexity of everything. I think, does he even try that shot? If it's, you know, if we've got 5 minutes left, does he even, like, he knows he's got enough time left, you know what, yeah. I mean? To make, if I miss this, so we've still got another 12 minutes left. It completely changes everything. It completely changes the way. They don't have to panic. They don't have to throw, like, aimless balls in. They know they've got an extra 12 minutes or whatever it is to score. And we start defending knowing that we've got another 50 to play. You know what I mean? So it changed everything in terms of us ever having a chance of holding on.
Yeah, we're not good enough to compete at this level anyway, but when you stretch a game out to, 105 minutes, 54 seconds, I think it was, when the final whistle went, because it stayed sort of symbolically frozen on the scoreboard for quite a long time afterwards. So we did end up playing basically 16 minutes, because they obviously won a corner with like seconds to go and had time to take that and swing that over, and that was where they had that shot from the edge of the area, which fortunately... it hit straight at Gerbich, and he was able to fall on it. Yeah, just a very angry. I was just really angry at the outcome, I guess. Like not at the team, just like it just felt like another game where every possible edge had gone against us, and you can't help but be annoyed at it. I suppose of, you know, stupid VAR decision. The dumb circumstances that mean we have to sub on substandard players, conceding immediately, you know, being 4-1 up and then only 3-2 like within about 30 seconds, and then 40 minutes injury time just made me think like, I'm done, get me out of here. Even though it was entertaining, you know, I enjoyed the game, I guess, as a spectacle, but yeah, super annoyed afterwards. Any final thoughts on it?
No. Frustration that we threw it away. Like I said, on the balance of play, we might have even got away with it with a draw. But everything about that, about the league itself, the fact that we had to do that, we had to go through all those VAR decisions. You know, we're coming out of games at like 5:15. Like, yeah. It's just for a game, as I said, that didn't seem to have any real debatable, controversial incidents. As you said, if the goal were given, I don't think a Fulham fan before Fulham fan would have brought it up. Sending off, and that's why all the time got added on.
Yeah, very, very annoying end. Another point, Burnley also got a point yesterday, Saturday. They drew with Chelsea somehow, didn't they? So our dream of finishing 19th looks highly unlikely at this stage. I really thought this was going to be that one more home win that I'd asked for, mate, when we went 4-1 up, but wasn't to be. But, you know, I clapped the players off at the end. I thought they did about as well as they could have done. I know Deccan over Reed runs off Norwood for the second goal, for example, and there's a few moments of, you know, not great defending, but overall I thought that was about as well as we could do against a decent Premier League team, which Fulham are, you know, in that sort of middle echelon. So yeah, they got a round of applause from me. It was, you know, it was a hell of a lot better than some of these other home games we've sat through, but ultimately I guess it's why we're going down, because we can't compete over 90 minutes. We can compete for 20 minutes, maybe, at best. And sometimes that'll be enough to get you points. I think, you know, I do think that's where the value of Brereton Diaz comes in, that he can get you a goal or two, and that can win you a game, even when you're so obviously second best. But, just the one point for us. And it says here that we're playing Liverpool tomorrow night at Anfield, and... I'm good, actually. I don't think I'll be tuning in for that one, you know, just to let people know. I'm mentally moving on to Chelsea at home on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm at work for this. I'm not going to see it. So I don't think we'll be doing a pod on it, will we?
No, we'll mention it after the Chelsea game. But yeah, we won't be squidging a pod in before the weekend for sure.
I'm not even joking. If you said to me now you've lost 5-6-0, please. I just don't want to get that 10-0 record, which is genuine a possibility. Liverpool, as it stands, Arsenal play tonight, but Liverpool are 6 goals behind Arsenal in goal difference. So you imagine they're going to go for it.
Are they playing tonight, Arsenal? Luton, isn't it, I think?
Luton yeah, at home. I imagine they'll get a few more goals, but, you know, I imagine Liverpool will want to keep up with the pace at least.
Yeah, I would think it would be unprofessional of Klopp to not send them out to say, like, I want us to have the same goal difference as Arsenal at the end of this game. Like, unless you know, Arsenal win, like, 5-0 tonight or something. And even then, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And the thing as well is the only other thing we've got going for us, I suppose, is well, I say going for us is that they play Man United on Sunday. Will they rest a few players for that? Probably not.
But, yeah, you know, actually, I hadn't considered that. Actually, that might be our saving grace. They might be get it wrapped quickly, take them off for the second half. You know, I don't feel like Liverpool have quite the same strength in depth. Like throughout their team as like City does. I don't even feel this is famous last words because I'm literally discussing the possibility of losing 10-0 here. So, yeah, I don't feel like I'm jinxing it. Keep it below 8 and I'll probably be all right. You know, I feel like this is such a hyperbolic thing to say, but like we watched the Arsenal game, 5-0 down at half time. That's not normal, you know? So losing 8-9, 10-0 at Anfield is also not normal, but is the sort of thing that could happen to us this season. Maybe they'll want to wreck Mason Holgate as well, seeing as he's obviously got his Toffees connection. Yeah, I don't believe we have any ability to stop teams having a billion shots. And yeah, we just have to pray, mate. Pray that they don't have the shooting boots on and Gerbich as a blinder because we're going to need it to have some respectability. But yeah, I will mentally move on from that game very quickly, I imagine. And on to Chelsea, which, you know, obviously is a massive challenge, but at least I have a bit of hope from how we approach this one. I'm looking forward to seeing Arblaster again. You know, hopefully Diaz and McBurney can both play, although it might be a bit of an ask for McBurney to do whatever it is, 3 games in a week or something, 3 games in 8 days. But yeah, could cause Chelsea a few problems. They're not that good, are they?
No, this is the game we've got left as well, where the other three should be a little bit more like the Fulham game and Forest, maybe not Tottenham to be fair, but Forest and Burnley, Chelsea. You never know, do you? They could hammer you 5-0 quite easily, but they keep someone like us because they're just a complete mess of a team. So I'm much more looking forward to that than Liverpool away, put it that way.
yeah, exactly. Right, well, I think that's everything. I wanted to maybe talk about Jamie Hoyland coming as the new chief scout, but I'm running out of time a little bit. So maybe, I don't think that's been officially announced yet, has it? So. Maybe
no, it's not. It's not been officially announced now.
Yeah, we can talk about that when it actually happens. Then, I don't think there's any other Blades news. As you mentioned, Tom Davies been out for the season, Baldock out for 6 weeks, which moves us towards the end of the season. So it makes you wonder if he's possibly played his last game for us. Jack Robinson being captain was one small note from this game, I suppose. Armand Odzic being captain was a truly bizarre choice from Wilder, I've got to say. Like, not only the timing of it, like with the Rainbow Laces campaign and him refusing to wear the armband, but just an odd choice as captain. You know, I see people saying, like, maybe it's a, and I think you might have raised this as well, maybe it's like a bit of a challenge to him, if you like. You know, this is what, you know, we value this much, we think you are a leader, but I don't know, that sounds like you're taking decisions like on the basis of one individual rather than the entire team. And yeah, Jack Robinson feels a more fitting wearer of the armband than anyone else on that pitch, I suppose, apart from maybe McBurney, but you can't trust him to stay out there very long.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think maybe it was just to try and get him to play better, and it's obviously not, he's not worked for Armand Odzic. Yeah, Robinson's a better captain. He's going to be here next year, obviously. It doesn't seem like Armand Odzic is going to be here. So, yeah, I think that's just an obvious thing. I don't think it makes a huge difference, but it'd be nice to have a proper club captain next year, wouldn't it?
yeah, it would. And yeah, you got the I guess Wilder's got the chance to kind of forge that now, I suppose. You know, that's one good thing, I suppose, about him staying here is that he is here already. And, you know, he is forming opinions on the future of a lot of these players heading into the summer rather than coming in June or July or whatever and having to start from scratch. Right, mate. Well, that was, yes, the 3-3 draw with Fulham. Exciting game, as I said, even if a little bit disappointing at full time, obviously. Yeah. Roy'sViewFrom.com. Do you want to plug your stuff or finish?
Yeah, I've got a view from Liverpool today. Pre-match view. Guess what? They're very confident.
Yeah, I haven't been able to bring myself to click on that one yet.
I don't blame anyone for not reading that. They're just basically talking about can they get the goal difference up. And you know, some of our fans are going, oh, really arrogant. They're not going to get an easier game, you know, to try and catch Arsenal's goal difference up. So why not this one? So yeah, that's at roysviewfrom.com. Few people like sort of, oh, could be a banana skin. It's like, nah, it's not going to, don't worry, lads. Yeah. And we've got, I think, 3 pods out on the Maidley podcast since we last did this. And for our, still looking for our greatest sitcom of the last 30 years.
Yeah, they're really good, those. I don't say this just to blow smoke up your and Liam's behinds. You can tell that's like very much in your wheelhouse, that that area of discussion. So I've been really enjoying those podcasts. Really
thank
good.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
So yeah, that is Living with Maidley. I should have a new the new edition of Women of Steel out probably tomorrow morning, I think. I'm a bit behind this week, but. They won again, United women, 4 wins in a row.
Yeah,
they're very comfortably in mid-table now. And yeah, just finishing the season, looking pretty strong, to be honest. So it's an international break for them now, so they pick up again in a couple of weeks. Only 2 games left for them. I'm actually a bit sad because obviously they're on like a nice little run at the minute. And I feel like having followed them closely all season, I've like, you know, developed quite an affinity for how, like which players are improving and like which players, you know, starting to think like, oh, is she going to get picked up by a WSL team next year, or could she go on and be something really, really special for us next year? So, I'm sad there's only 2 games of their season left, and sad there's still like 9 games of the men's team left. Is it 9? Surely it's not 9. It's not 9, is it?
9, it is, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Next time we pod, it'll only be 7.
That is true, yeah. That's all right. I can handle that. Great stuff. All right, mate. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. And I'll see you Sunday. That is when we will record again. Even if United pull off the miraculous tomorrow night, you will hear about it next week after we've played Chelsea. So thanks everyone for listening, and thank you to you for your time, mate. I will catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Goodbye.